Ah, the receiver wasn't on. That'll do it. Okay. All right. Well, glad to be back. We are going to go into the book of Ruth starting today. And this follows up pretty naturally on the heels of our study of the book of Judges. I have handed out an outline to the book of Ruth. I think just about everybody's got it. If you don't have a copy, there are some on the table in the foyer. Let's see. We will... All right, we're good there. All right, thank you, Jason. We're going to start today by introducing the book and kind of setting some background for it. That's going to include, Lord willing, the first few verses of the book. But I want to start with some of the basic information that we always like to cover whenever we're entering into a new book. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know about the book of Ruth. We do not know the author of the book. It's not stated anywhere in the book. Tradition identifies Samuel as the author, but we really have no evidence for that. We also do not know the date of the composition. We know it had to be sometime either during or after the reign of King David, because the book concludes with a genealogy that leads up to David. And there's lots of arguments about the placement of the text that, honestly, I don't think are all that consequential for our understanding of the text. But, again, we want to be careful to not assert things about the text that it doesn't assert about itself. I want us to consider where the book of Ruth falls in our Old Testaments, in the Hebrew Scriptures. In our English arrangement of things, which follows after the Greek, Ruth appears between the books of Judges and Samuel, which makes a lot of sense chronologically. In fact, we read in the very first verse of Ruth that this story happens in the days when the judges ruled. So this follows right on the heels of Judges. That's why we're studying Ruth now. It dovetails quite nicely with our study of the book of Judges. The Hebrew Scriptures, though, place Ruth differently in perhaps a surprising place. Right? You would think, oh, after Judges is just the natural place to put it. But in our Hebrew of the Old Testament, they place Ruth after Proverbs. Now, there's a reason for that that we're not going to get into yet. And in fact, it's placed right in the middle of the wisdom literature between Proverbs and the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. Excuse me. Puzzle over that for a bit. Consider why in the Hebrew ordering of things would they put Ruth after Proverbs and before Song of Songs? What does it have to do with those books? We'll come to a definitive answer to that later on in our study of Ruth, but not today. So you just get to stew over it for now. This is a short book. And so even though we've got a brief amount of time together this morning, I want us to take this opportunity, because we don't get this opportunity very often, to begin with a reading of the whole book, all in one sitting, just to have a big picture in view as we're going along. And I'd like to split up the reading. We've got four chapters here. I think I'm going to reserve chapter 3 for myself. But for chapter 1, Saul, could you read chapter 1 for us? And Wayne, could you read chapter 2? And Jason, could you read chapter 4 when we come to it? All right, go ahead, Saul.
But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two I don't know.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he'll tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You've made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, but there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment that you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today."
And the Lord gave him 2 sons, 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 and the Lord gave him 2 sons,
Amen. All right, thank you all. So now we've got the whole story in front of us, front to back. So I want us to spend just a little time discussing the story as a whole together, just for a few minutes. In your own words, what is this story about? What kind of story is this that we've just read? How would y'all describe Ruth? Okay, it's a story about redemption. All right, what kinds of redemption do we see over the course of this book? Like what needs redeeming in the book? Okay, the inheritance, specifically the inheritance of Elimelech. So you've got the land that belonged to him. Then you also have Ruth herself. You have the lineage of Elimelech, which is at risk. All right, so it's a story about how all of these things that are in danger of being lost are restored and secured. All right, good. Is there any other way that you guys would describe this story? Go ahead, Rena. All right, the rewards of faith. How does that play out in the book of Ruth? Yeah. Yeah, she's in a... Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. The Lord helped them out. And in what ways particularly did Ruth display faith over the course of the story? What kinds of things did she do that proved that she was a faithful and worthy woman, as Boaz calls her in chapter 3? Sorry? Yeah, she's taken care of Naomi. She is going out and working hard every day to make sure not just that she has something to eat, but that Naomi has something to eat. She's been taking care of this woman that, Rena, I'm glad you said it this way, that Naomi almost seems like she's in worse shape than Ruth is in terms of her status. In some ways even more helpless than Ruth is. And Ruth demonstrates her faith, her faithfulness, we should say, by taking care of Naomi. All right, and how is Ruth rewarded for her faithfulness? Yeah, in the end, she ends up with a good husband, and she ends up with a famous lineage. Even just reading the book of Ruth, we recognize what an incredible lineage she has, since her line ends up giving birth to David, the king. And ultimately, we know where that leads, right? In fact, Matthew specifically mentions Ruth in Matthew chapter 1 as one of the ancestors of our Lord. All right, so we've seen Ruth's faithfulness. Who else has been faithful in this book? Yep. For not doing those things. Yep. Yes. Excellent. Yes, this is a story about what happens when Israel lives out the commandments of God. Right, and we'll spend some time in this study in the blessings and curses of the law of Moses, the blessings and curses of the covenant. They actually play a huge role in this book. And a big part of the story is showing how, showing those rewards for covenant faithfulness. Rewards that go even to a Moabite woman. All right, and that's another important factor. All right, Wayne?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yes. 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 Well, go ahead. Yes. Exactly. That's a huge point in this book. Yeah, exactly like Rahab. I'm very thankful that y'all are teaching the class for me. This is all stuff that I've got written down in my notes. But this is good that you're picking up on all of it. Louise, I saw your hand. Yes, yeah. It's a story about loyalty and how people ought to take care of each other. And this is all stuff that we see enshrined in the law of Moses. Right? Again, these people are taking care of each other according to the pattern that God laid out to Moses. And this would be, I think we would enjoy this story even in its own right, just getting to see people treat each other right. Right? Like what a breath of fresh air that is. Having just read Judges, where nobody knows how to treat other people right, just seeing people act right is refreshing. But then you add on top of that that we get to see the blessings that God puts on them for being loyal to each other. Jason, saw your hand. Yeah. Yeah, and this is the interesting thing about Naomi, because her take on the whole thing is that the Lord has sent her away empty. She is, Jason, I think you put it pretty well, that she is despairing, right? And this language of full and empty is going to be really important over the course of the book, too, by the way. Naomi is so convinced that she's been stripped of everything, that she is despairing of everything, that, I mean, what does she try to do at the end of chapter 1? Well, she does that. When they come back to Bethlehem, at the end of chapter 1, you know, the whole town stirred up because of them. The women ask in verse 19, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them in verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." All right, we'll spend more time talking about that as we go through the story. But as far as she's concerned, her life is no longer pleasant. She's not been dealt with pleasantly or sweetly by the Lord. She's been dealt with bitterly by the Lord. Now her life is empty. How does the rest of the book treat that claim? Does the rest of the book agree with Naomi? No, the entire book is a refutation of that. And we'll see that. We'll track that step by step as we go through the book. So by the end of the book, everything has been filled back up. Wayne? Uh-huh. Job, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very good. And there's a lesson out of that for us that Jason was alluding to, that, you know, whenever life looks to us like it looked to Naomi or like it looked to Job, that for some reason the Lord's been picking on us and stripping us of everything. The moral of both of these stories, of Ruth and of Job, is that you don't understand the divine perspective on things. All right. Excellent discussion. I want to finish up by noting a couple of last things, just kind of tying up some ends here. And then I think we'll have to save going in depth into the text for Thursday. The book of Ruth, as I think Wayne noted this, it is the mirror opposite of the book of Judges. Judges is a tragedy about Israel breaking the covenant, departing from the law, refusing to follow the law. Ruth, on the other hand, is about how keeping the covenant and living out the law can resolve tragedy. Right? So this story starts with tragedy. But by the end, it has a happy ending. Everything is filled back up. Ruth is not a tragedy. It only begins in tragedy. Let's see. Judges also shows us a lot of people acting out of self-interest. Right? Jephthah and his vow, acting out of self-interest. Samson, the young Levite, the tribe of Dan, the other Levite in the final story who lets his concubine stay out overnight to save his own skin. You have all of these people acting in their own interest at the expense of other people, and Israel ends up a mess for it. You have one tribe that's nearly destroyed for it. Ruth, on the other hand, shows us self-sacrifice. You've got Ruth going out and working on behalf of Naomi. You've got Boaz marrying Ruth to provide an inheritance for the dead. And whereas in Judges, you have a tribe nearly destroyed, a household, households destroyed. Here, you have a great house being established through the selflessness of Ruth and Boaz. In Judges, remember, towards the end of Judges, what was that refrain that we heard over and over again about how lawless Israel was? Yes, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Judges is a story about Israel's kinglessness. Ruth depicts the promise of kingship, that through their faithfulness in this book, now we're going to get the king who is the man after God's own heart. Last couple of things here. This is the only book in the Hebrew Scriptures named after a non-Israelite. The book of Judges showed us a Canaanized Israel, right? So Israel loses their identity over the course of the book of Judges, and they become indistinguishable from the Canaanites around them by the end of the book. The book of Ruth is going to show us the opposite. We've got this foreigner, this Moabitess, Ruth, who becomes truly Israelite. She gives up her Moabite heritage, her Moabite identity, and becomes an Israelite of Israelites. Which means that we should keep a couple of other stories in the backs of our minds about foreigners who become Israelites. Wayne mentioned one of them earlier, the story of Rahab. She forsook her people and her gods to join Israel. And there's another connection that we'll consider when we study the end of the book of Ruth. We might keep in mind the story of the Gibeonites, who also found shelter under the wing of Israel and Israel's God. There's another more essential connection for us to draw here, though, looking forward from the book of Ruth. In Ruth, we see the gospel proclaimed in the Hebrew Scriptures, that God's kingdom is open even to the Gentiles, and that the righteous shall live by faith. All right, we see early proclamations of that here in the book of Ruth, things that will get picked up on and expanded on in the New Testament. All right, that's where we're going to finish for now, because we are out of time. We will start in chapter 1, the first 5 verses on Thursday. We'll see how far we get, but we've got a lot to say about that opening scene where the crisis strikes, because that's going to establish some really essential background for understanding the rest of the story. So thank you so much for your kind attention and your questions and comments this morning.